Our topic today is the size of a mikvah. So we saw the Gemara in Maseches Yuma, Maseches Pesachim, describes the din, describes the shear of a mikvah based on the drasha that a person has to immerse completely and totally its kol gufo in the mikvah. So the Gemara has this description that the amount of water which is sufficient is the amount of water in Amma al Amma Barum Shalosh Amos, which the Gemara then applies to the idea of a shear of Memsa, 40 Sa. So the Rivash and the Tshuva, responding to the Shoel, who thinks or who suggests that maybe this shear of Memsa is only Drabanan, the Rivash insists, he says that's absolutely not the case. The shear of Memsa is unquestionably a din de Oraisa. Now, it's true that the way that the Rambam, based on the Gemara, seems to present it is that it's skewed more towards the concept of the size of the makom, which is something that the Chelkas Binyamin alludes to in a specific context, Ein Sham. But the notion that it is this amount of water, a 40 sa, he says it's absolutely d'oraisa. Nafkamina, of course, in case of where you have a suffix. So if you assume, like we assume, that Arboim Sa is the sheer d'oraisa, so then a suffix is going to be a suffix d'oraisa, is l'chumra.
This is in a mikvah.
Mm-hmm.
No, okay.
So the... oh, good point. So Daniel's pointing out is that, however, in a Mayim, where we say it's Metar B'Kol Shu, even those poskim who require those Rishonim, which we accept Lamaisa, that you require Arboim Sa for Tfilas Adam in a Mayim, we pointed that out, that that's going to be Drabanan, so Nafkamina is going to be Mitzarif for a Suffolk. Oh. But the Arch HaShulchan has an interesting Ha'ara in Os, I think it's an Os Yud, where he suggests that if you have a person who is giant, a huge person, who is going to immerse in the mikveh, so in that case, the person would require more than Arboim Sa. The person would require more than Arboim Sa, because Maim Shekol Gufa Olubahem, in a case of Amal Amal Rum Shalosh Amos, that's only in an Adam Beinoni, but not in a... in a, you good? You all right? But not in the case of a giant. So that's the suggestion of the Arach HaShulchan. But the Darkei Tshuva in Sifkat and Beis, he totally rejects that. He says, I don't understand. That's the shear of the water, and it doesn't matter. That's the Kabbalah. But it's interesting to think about, why is it that the Arach HaShulchan would require more than Memsa for a giant person, which, by the way, the conclusion of the Darkei Tshuva is that even though he does not agree with this assessment, but he thinks that because in Hilchos Mikvos we try to satisfy even the minority opinions, he's Choshesh L'Hachmir for this Deya, it might make sense, because if you look carefully in that Tshuva Saradvaz, and the Chasam Sofer develops this as well in the Tshuva that we saw, that was Reish Tes? Reish Ches, or Reish Tes, or Reish Yud, one of those Tshuvas, I forget which one we saw. Chasam Sofer and the Rivash come up with this distinction between Maim Shekol Gufa Ola Bahem on one side, and then the idea of that the Gufa is Ola mitzah the fact that it's Batal. That the mechanism, the way that the tefillah is working, is that somehow the person becomes batal to the water. So there has to be sufficient water to be mevatal, quote-unquote, the person. And therefore, if you have a giant, you need a larger amount of water to be mevatal the person. And he says that the word ole is borrowed from the din of bitul truma, Bechulin, that it's ole be'echarumeya. If you look in the Lashon of the Rivash, he uses that reference, and the Chasam Sofer says specifically that it's a concept of bitul. So it's not just and that the person needs to be submerged under the water, at least according to the Aruch HaShulchan, there has to be a sufficient amount of water vis-a-vis the person. That would be a svara, potentially, to explain the approach of the Aruch HaShulchan. Yes. One, two.
According to Aruch HaShulchan.
Yes.
Mikveh Arba'im Tfilah.
Yes.
For a giant man. If a tfilah of the giant man will not be kshara, but the mikveh is kasher.
Okay.
So, yeah. According to Kul Alma, the mikveh will be kasher, and okay. If tfilah, so what's the machloket? If a tfilah...
So that, no, the point is that even though the person is covered, let's say it's a very deep bore, so that when the person steps into the bore, he displaces the water and it goes all the way to the top, and he is covered, right? Because obviously, if the Aruch HaShulchan is talking a case where the person is not completely covered by water, obviously. So the Chorev, what he's saying is, this is how we're suggesting, he's saying that the case is that the person is covered, is submerged in the water. And yet he thinks that still would not be sufficient. And that's the Darkei Tshuva says, I don't understand. Why not? There's 40 saw, it's a kosher mikvah, he's kol gufo b'mayim, so what could be the problem? So what we're wondering is, if what we see is that, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, based on this approach of the Rivash and the Chasam Sofer, the shear of the main mikvah is not just a shear in terms of how much water is going to cover the surface of the person, but the amount of water vis-a-vis the size of the person. Yeah, one second, Daniel, first time.
But presumably, unless you have a really, really tiny person, 40 saw even would not be enough to make a person bottle, or to be mevatel, the goof, right? What's the ratio here?
Bottle the shishin, bottle the man. The Sofer says it's, you know,
chad betray. It sounds like chad betray, exactly.
Chad betray, but
which he then connects to the question of chad betray is 51 to 49% or 66.
Right. So the person is half an amma, the person is only half an amma deep. He's 3 ammas tall, because that's which, the point, 3 ammas tall. And he's 1 amma wide, so that's half a mikvah.
Is that half a mikvah?
I mean, it is because it's one by one.
You're saying, assuming that he is half an amma wide, half an amma.
That's what the Gemara assumes.
Yeah.
That's the Gemara assumes. So it's interesting, Ha'ara, this machlokas, this Darkei Tshuva arguing with the Aruch HaShulchan. That's number one. The second thing which this brings up, we'll get to in a second, is that there are 2 days in Tosfos. You look in the Tosfos and Psachim, and the Chasam Sofer. Menachem just mentioned, the way that you're going to construct a mikvah, it has to be, according to the second day in Tosfos, it has to be deeper so that when you step into the mikvah, all the water doesn't flow out of the mikvah. Either because you're going to have potentially a problem of lack of water, or you're going to have a potential problem of zochlin, right? Because it's going to be zochlin out of the mikvah, and even though the Shach assumes that when a person immerses in the mikvah, that can't cause a problem of zechila, but other achronim dispute that point in the Shach. It was interesting that when we looked up the Shach, it's not so much that it's bidei adam, it's that through the ofen of tvila, the mechanism of tvila cannot create a zechila, but according to the non-shach achronim, so then by getting into the water, you're going to displace some of the water, it's going to spill out. So number one, the construction of the mikveh is that it has to have arba'im sa'ah, and potentially it has to have more than arba'im sa'ah. If you have people who are going to be huge, gigantic, they might, according to Aruch HaShulchan, they're going to require more. Number two, the space of the mikveh, Tosfos points out, has to be larger than just amal amma barum shalosh amos, because then the water is going to be displaced. The third point in this discussion is that Darkei Tshuva points out there were some, apparently, who thought that the way to assess how much water you need for your mikvah is based on the weight of the water. But the Darkei Tshuva and others point out he quotes from one of the Acharonim, says that approach is totally rejected because there's different density of water, and the weight is going to be different based on what he calls the minerals. He writes in Yiddish, mineralim, minerals. So, So therefore, the general accepted opinion is that you measure the mikveh not by how much the water weighs, but how much volume it is, how much it displaces. Yes?
I wanted to know if the Tushtel is a genius to connect the Rivash and the Chasam Sofer to explain the Aruch HaShulchan. Is that your Tushtel?
I don't know. I was trying to think about how else you can understand. It's interesting because the Aruch HaShulchan just says it. He just says it. It's just a one-liner. And the Darkei Tshuva quotes and he says, I don't know what he's talking about. He says, that's a Pella. Meir Hitesi, that a giant person should require more than Arba Emsa. It's a Meir Hitesi, I don't know. You know, and to say that he's talking about a person who doesn't fit in the mikveh and they have one elbow out of the mikveh, so then shouldn't that be self-evident? You know, obviously, the person's not in the mikveh, they're not in the mikveh. So then the Lamaisa thing that we need to figure out for us is, well, what does that mean practically? How big does a mikveh have to be? What is the size of a mikveh? You go to be a rav in a community, and they say, we're going to build a mikveh. Well, how large is the size of a mikveh? So this idea of a ama al ama berum shalosh amos is a shasuya that needs to be addressed for so many different areas in halacha. What is the size of an ama, which is six tfachim, and six tfachim are four, as Rashi points out here, four agudalim, which, even though there was seems to be a minority opinion that thought that maybe it has to do with the depth of your thumb, but everybody assumes that it's the width of your thumb. So how wide is the thumb? So based on that is how large is a tefach, based on that is how large is an amma. Yes?
Practically,
yeah.
Where our mikvahs are never a size of shender, they're always like a much larger path. When does this come up?
So I would argue the opposite. You know, I don't know what mikvahs you're referring to, but I would say the following. If you look in the Taras Mayim, he's discussing the fact that in many places they did not have the luxury of building big mikvahs. Especially if you're talking about a place where it's hard to get megishamim. So the paucity of water or the paucity of space, the economy of it may require the small, so we have to know what it is. That's this. There's a lengthy essay here in the Taras Mayim trying to figure out what's the shear and how many times do you have to rely on this shear for a Shas Adchak. That's exactly what it is. Now, the Gemara assumed that the shear is Amma al Amma Berum Shalosh Amos. Right? That's the assumption of the Gemara. That's what the Rivash said is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. But that assumption needs to be translated into centimeters and inches. So what does that look like? So, yes.
The Adamai spoke about Otsara Shaka or Borat Vila.
We're talking about, imagine the because one mikveh that you have.
Because if you have a giant man, but the Borat Vila is enough for him, but the Otsara Shaka is just a Benicia, this will be fine?
Well, but then they're combined. So it's totally fine because, especially according to the Chuvas Arash, that the water is transformed. Yeah, it's a gigantic mikvah. Yeah.
Right, so, the mikvah
so assumably, they're much larger than that. But we want to know what's the shear.
Okay.
So okay. There are multiple. Yes.
One clarification would be mine, according to the Chuvas Arash. The assumption is that a person effectively is 40 sa of mass.
No, 20 sa.
Oh, okay. So that
could
be
big. Right, so Tosfos said two days. We saw two days, Machlokas, Tosfos, and the Ramban, about whether or not the three amos in the Gemara is the three amos till the top of the person's head, like the Ramban seemed to accept at the end, 100% clear, the Ramban and Bava Basra there, as opposed to Tosfos, who is consistent that the three amos are until the person's neck, but the neck up is not included in the three amos. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But there are a couple of different shiurim that it's good to be aware of because this comes up in a lot of different places in halacha. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Moshe writes in Orachaim Chelak Aleph Simin Kuf Lamed Vav that he thinks that Meikra Din, one etzba, which is one quarter of a tefach, is 0.885 inches. which puts your ama at 21 and a quarter inches.
0.885.
Yes, that's 0.885 inches. And that puts your ama at 21 and a quarter inches. However, Moshe writes, for a mikvah, because we want to be more machmir, he suggests that we should put the mikvah at 24 inches for an ama.
21.25 inches? For an ama?
That's the me'ikar adin shir for Moshe, but for the mikvah, he's machmir 24 inches.
24 inches for one.
So for everything else, it's 21 and a quarter.
That's what he says. The Darkei Tshuva here in Sifkat and Yud quotes that in Europe there was a measurement called a tzel. So I'm not sure exactly what a tzel was, but it seems from what I found that a tzel was the equivalent of an inch, this European measurement. And so the Darkei Tshuva says no. He thinks that it needs to be a tzel, which he points out is slightly more than 2 centimeters. He quotes that from the Das Torah of the Maharsham, which brings us to the next shita, which is Rav Chaim Noah, quoted here in the Taras Mayim, that Rav Chaim Noah thought that it was 2 centimeters for one etzba. Etzba is 2 centimeters. So it comes out from that, according to the Rav Moshe, the main shita, the middle shita is 21 and a quarter inches for an amma. According to the Darkei Tshuva, that every etzba is an inch, so you're at the 24 inch, like the Machmir Shita of Rav Moshe. According to Rav Chaim Noah, you're at the other, totally opposite end, that 2 centimeters is one etzba. How many centimeters are in an inch? 2.54, which means that your amma is 18.897 inches.
897?
Yeah.
So you have anywhere between 18 and 21 inches.
What's that?
Anywhere between 18.8 and 24 inches.
18.897.
And 24.
Correct.
No one has a smaller amma than that?
Not that I'm aware of. He does, Rav Talushkin quotes one minority opinion that is very, very makel here that seems to be rejected. And this sefer, this is from the Stipler, Zichrono Levracha, called Shiuran Shel Torah, where he goes through the sugyas of Shiurim and he quotes the sugyas according to the Chazon Ish. So in the Hagdama, he says, I happen to have blank paper at the front of the book. That's what he writes. I have a blank page here, and I don't really have anything to do with it. So you know what I'll do? I hear that in America, people need to know what the shiurim are, so I'm going to give you the measurements in American measurements. Although he says they are, according to the inch, and even though the inch, he says, is 2.5 centimeters, be'emes yesh bo mashu yoser. So he says that according to the Chazon Ish, which is the gudol is 1 inch, and therefore an amma is 24 inches. So that shear that Rav Moshe quoted Lahachmir, that is the shita of the Chazon Ish. So the Chazon Ish's amma is 24 inches. The Rav Chaim Noah's amma is 18.897 inches. So where do you go, Lamaisa? So the Taras Mayim suggests, if you saw at the beginning of the Simen, the Arch HaShulchan has some measurements that I didn't understand because they seem to be in Russian measurements. So he quotes from this Rav David Miller, who deconstructs the shear of who knew the Russian measurements of the Halaga Arch HaShulchan from Nevardak. He says, "Oh, I'll tell you what they are." So it comes out according to this, he says that an agudal is 86 hundredths of an inch, which gives you an amma of 20.64 inches.
That's really close to Rav Moshe.
Which is more lenient. Then even Rav Moshe's
26.4?
20.64. 20.64. And the, what's that? And the Taras Mayim likes this shear because he says, this seems to be, he says, it's so much confusion in the Achronim, how to measure this. He says, this seems to be a fair middle-of-the-road shita. Obviously, lechatchila, if you have the ability to put in more, so lechatchila you should put in more. But he says this is not the most makel shita, it's not the most machmer shita. He says this is the, you know, the middle The Derech HaMamutza, that's what Rav Telushkin suggests in the Taras Mayim. So what is this Lamaisa? How much does this come out to? So this huge nafgamina. Because according to Rav Chaim Noah, if you do the following, and I am very indebted to the internet, which, as we know, is at once a tremendous curse, but also a tremendous blessing. It helps me with the math. Apparently, every cubic foot of water is 7.48 gallons, which is the equivalent of saying 1 gallon is 231 square inches. So now if you do the math, according to Rav Chaim Noah, you need 87.64 gallons to fill a mikvah.
It's 1 gallon is how many?
1 gallon is 231 square inches.
So 231.
Yes. So if
could you just say that in Paragon again?
7.48 gallons in a cubic foot, 1 gallon in 231 square inches. So if I did the math correctly, which I hope I did, I used the calculator, I hope I got this right, according to Rav Chaim Noah, your mikvah needs at least 87.64 gallons of mayim ksherim, whereas according to the Chazon Ish, you need 179.53 gallons. I think that's correct. You have to do the math afterwards.
Twice as much.
More than.
Because of the difference of...
Because of the difference of almost 6 inches in your amma.
Twice as much.
And then the Taras Mayim Shita, the middle Shita, is 116.70 gallons. Yesham ba, in the Shiur and Shel Torah. In the Shiur and Shel Torah and in the Taras Mayim. 116.70. That's what he suggests.
How do we measure this? When you're
doing
mikvah, they have like the measuring cup lines.
So I assume so. So it's interesting. Well, I'll get to this in a little bit, but you can measure just by measuring the volume, the area of your mikvah.
I'm saying, but conceptually, I can think about it. How do they actually do it?
I don't know. We have to find out from someone who made a mikvah.
Filter.
Find out. Yeah, when we go on the field trip.
We'll go to Tibet.
So this brings up to the next topic. Any questions, comments, or observations on this thus far?
So our range is effectively a little under 100 gallons to almost 200.
Between, according to what I understand, 87.64 gallons and 179.53 gallons.
His shiurim.
Yes.
The Taras Mayim say his shiur. Like, does we find that shiur in the Aruch HaShem and other areas of Halacha? Just in the Mikvos. Because that Mayim is Kidua is on the Mikvos. I want to know. I know this. I know that I've heard the shiur of the Chazon Ish and Ramosh and the Chaimah in all different areas of Halacha. I've never heard the shiur of the Taras Mayim. Is it like an exclusively?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't know what the Aruch HaShem holds in other places in Halacha. The Shiur in Shel Torah, this kuntres, goes through all of the different applications of these Shiurim in different areas of Halacha. It's interesting. Yeah. In the back, he has Shiur HaMitzvos according to the Horos of the Chazon Ish. What's interesting is in this section, he has in test, Shiur HaMikvah Yesh Machmirim. This is what Eliezer pointed out. This is where he talks about it. He says, Yeshebo Maim Lopachas min 750 liters, and that's Vaday Ro Lasos. Chas v'shalom not to go less than 648 liters. Yes. So how much is 648 liters in gallons? I don't know. But that's the Chazon Ish's shear, that the minimum is 648 liters, which if it's not exactly 4 liters to a gallon, but if you, I don't know, you could probably do the math on a...
648 is 171.183.
171? That's less than I came up with. I thought it was 179. Oh, maybe, yeah.
I'm being told that 3.785
Yeah.
Liters to gallon.
Okay. But he says lechatchila it should be 750 liters, but not less than 648.
If the Taras Mayim is doing the middle ground,
yes.
Wouldn't that 116 is closer to Chaim Noah's Shir than the Chazon Ish's?
That's correct.
So that's not middle ground, that's closer, meaning presumably...
Yeah, middle ground in terms of Shitos.
But it's cubic feet, so it gets...
It's middle ground in terms of Shitos. He's not taking the two Shitos.
But
there's
that
no
would
such
presumably
thing.
Sound like there are more Shitos that hold closer to 87 than 179.
So take a look. He counts them up.
He does count them up.
Yeah. Okay, what's the shape of a mikvah? So this that we have described, the shape is in the shape of a box or a rectangle. So when you're putting together your mikvah, one of the things that the Achronim point out is you have to be careful, what about the stairs, right? The stairs have to count toward the exact shape. It's possible to make a mikvah which is circular, but then how do you figure out what the size of your mikvah needs to be? So if you look at Or HaChaim, in Hilchas Sukkah, in Siman Tov Reish Lamed Dalid, the Taz in Sifkat and Beis explains the Shulchan Aruch that we know we have this mathematical equation that the sides of a an equilateral triangle, where once the left side and the bottom side are the same, so then the hypotenuse is x times the square root of 2. So the case there is the minimum shear for a sukkah is Zion al Zion. So then if you're building a round sukkah, you have to be able to fit within that Zion al Zion. You have to put that Zion al Zion shape square inside the circle. So how much more do you add? Well, what is the dimensions of the full going around? It's the circumference of a square. I don't know if there's a term for that.
Circumference.
The circumference of the square of Zion al Zion is 28 tvachim. That's the circumference of the square. So the Shulchan Aruch says, if you have a sukkah that is a circle, the circumference needs to be 29 point, what did it say? I don't remember exactly the point. Let me check. Hold on. I just want to make sure I have the right point because it's adding the square root of 2.
Why don't we just use that?
There it is. The square root of 2. Hold on. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense because, 1 second, Tov Reish Lamed Dalet. I don't want to rely on the math from my mind, but I didn't write it down. Hold on. Here it is. Im Yagula Tsarach Sheheba Kadeh L'Rabea Shiva Al Shiva. And the Taz here says that is 29.4.
I don't understand what we're doing.
What we're doing is we're taking a circle. Someone have a pen?
I get what you're describing. But I don't understand why we're doing it.
Okay.
What do you mean?
In other words, we have an issue with water. It's not a sukkah who has its own issues of why Zion and Zion is the smallest shear. I mean, you can't translate Zion on Zion in 28 square tefachim into a circle because that might not be the right size. But we're talking about a volume of water. Why are you using this? This is going to get you a much larger shear than necessary. Much larger than necessary.
This is ensuring that you have ama al ama barum shalosh amos if you can't measure your water. If you can measure your water, then you're right.
But you can measure a circle also. As I understand why we might need to do it by sukkah, to use this trick. Even though you have the sukkah is a little bit bigger than 7 square tefachim, but it might need to be bigger than 7 square tefachim. It's not the shape of the square.
Right.
But there's no tzorach for a mikvah to be a specific shape as long as it has the right nofach.
So I think the point is just to say this is how you ensure that you have the adequate shape. Is that it needs to be at least this size? Right. No.
Can you just use the circumference of a circle, the area of a circle, and convert it to volume? And convert it to volume. And that's
geological volume.
Or the same thing. You could just do the same thing and take the amount of water. Just
right.
Measure the water. Okay. But this is just another way of figuring it out. The Taras HaMayim points out that the Tosfos Yontif is not so convinced. I'm not sure why. He quotes from the Tosfos Yontif, is not so convinced that you should rely on this, so you should have to do more. But one other alternative, and this is what you were just alluding to, Menachem, is to take you have to figure out how this, assuming it's not a problem of Shuvin for a second, just take a kli, in theory, take a kli, which is 10 etzbos by 10 etzbos by 10 etzbos. So there you have one saw, and pour it in 40 times.
Right.
And then you know how high you can go in your circular mikvah, which is exactly what the Taras HaMayim suggests as an alternative. Meaning, this way you can figure out what the height of the mikvah is going to be by filling it with 40 saw of water.
Okay.
Right? So each saw, that's what it is.
I think Fulana measured his Yamanach, and he did a kav, he knew pi,
great.
He knew circle.
Yes. Okay. So now, in addition to being able to be in a circle, what about if you have a mikvah, which is of another kind of shape, where it's not very deep? A mikvah reduda. It's very shallow, which was not uncommon. So the Beis Yosef, we saw in Hilchos Nida, in Kuf Tzadi Ches, in Seifim Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin, in Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch, is worried about two things. He's worried that if a person will be tovel in a mikvah, which is a weird shape, and they have to crunch themselves over, not like it says, right, in Shulchan Aruch Lamed Hei, it says you're supposed to be tovel derech kedilasa, like in the case of a woman, like she is minika espina or a reges, more seconds. It's like a more of an upright position. Well, if you have to crunch yourself into a pretzel, so then the kbatim that are created, these folds, are going to pose a problem of a chatzitza. That's the first problem. The second problem Beis Yosef identifies is that there is a chashash. Maybe this person won't be totally underneath the mikvah because they have to contort themselves into fitting into this very strangely shaped mikvah. And this is quoted here in Hilchos Mikvos in Reish Aleph and Seif Samach Vav in the Ramah. So what is the concern here of these two? Which is the more primary concern? So the Pesachei Tshuva there and Seif Samach Vav says that the much bigger concern is the first concern, that the person's going to fold themselves up into the pretzel and they're going to be a chatzitza on themselves. And therefore, he adds that a person should also not be tovel ba'alachson on an angle, because he says you have this problem, they're not going to be able to tovel straight out. So therefore, he says, and this is what the Ramah says, if it's EF should be inyan acher, so then you can be tovel in a mikvah in a manner in which the person is lying straight, flat. Usually the person tovels upright, but meikar adin, the Ramah says, if you can't get another place, and how far is it? You can't get another mikvah, so the Darkei Tshuva there says, if it's going to take you more than the distance to go a mil. It's going to take you more than a mil to get to the length of time that it takes to get to another city. So if you have a car, so how long is a mil? So that's an argument. So maybe let's say it's 18 minutes, might be less, might be more, 22 minutes, 24 minutes, less than 18 minutes, 16 minutes, who knows? Whatever a mil is, so then you should find another mikvah. But if not, you should go in the mikvah horizontally, and the Aruch HaShulchan here adds that it doesn't matter whether the person is facing down, which is the lashon of the Rashba. We saw in the Rashba in the Tshuvas in Chelek Aleph and Tav Yud Ches, the Rashba says Paneh Kavushin Bakarka, but the Aruch HaShulchan says it doesn't matter whether the person is lying sideways or face up, as long as they're totally straight and submerged like a fish, that's fine. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, there, in the end of Hilchos Nida, he has a section called Dine Tikune Amikva Va'asiyasa. So it's very interesting. The Alter Rebbe says that even though the Shulchan Aruch says lechatchila, a person shouldn't use a mikvah that's not a zeres over their tabur, over their belly, a half a tefach, excuse me, a three tefachim, which is half an amma, he says, the fact is, kasha hadavar ma'ud lahatol ma'yukhaim haber karkit kolkach b'mikvah. He says, I don't know what the metzias was in Liadi, but they must have had issues with building deep mikvos, because he says it was hard to get enough hot water to heat the mikvos, and therefore he says that it was common for people to be tovel horizontally. And so he gives you the shear of the size of the mikvah. He says, ha'echrechu shetitbol b'mesichas gufa l'orka tachas ha'mayim ke'en dag la'orach ha'teva. And so he describes shetitcho kragle b'dofan akata shalateva samach l'shulayim, and with her whole hands she should hold on to the stair b'shliva tachtona, and to make sure that her hair remains submerged under the water. But apparently this was common, that they made mikvos that were shallower and longer because they had a tzorech. And we'll conclude with one mamish fascinating story. I, in this article in Tchumen in Chelek Yud Zayin, an article by a man by the name of Usher Grossberg. Usher Grossberg is a businessman who works for Bank Yisrael in Yerushalayim. But he published an article. And this is the picture of the article. This is the picture of the issue at hand, which is the mikvah in Matzada. Amazing. Yigal Yadin did excavations in Matzada, and they found a mikvah there. Several boros. So the first part of the article is donning whether or not this mikvah matzada was made using hashaka or zriya, because they found a hole which on one side seems to be a solid shofaris hanod.
How big were their fingers?
So that's what he's measuring over here. He says that the on one side there are three different boros here. So he says that he checked the nekev. Shtei etzbos work on one side, but on the other side, it's very narrow. It's less than 3.5 centimeters. So it could be that they held that since it's just being machshir shuvin, you don't require shofaris hanod.
Or it could be
a
tekfag.
Okay, who knows? But in addition to all of these very interesting ha'aruth that he makes in this article, whether the mikvah at Masada was through hashak or through zriya, they could determine that the mikvah had a very low water level. So he says, how could they do this? Hey, Kate said tovlu b'mikvah b'mesada, there was a very low water level. So he says, b'glal ha'gova ha'namuch shalamayim tovlu b'mikvah b'shchiva. They must have tovled lying down. And that's not a problem, because we know that the din is, he puts down here in the footnote in Shulchan Aruch, in footnote 27, this is on page 397, mikvah shemeimav merudodim, see the Tosefta, see Shulchan Aruch in our din, in Kuf Samach, Kuf Tzadi Ches Lamed Zayin, and Yoredeya Reish Aleph Samach Vav. So apparently, this idea of a mikvah being more horizontal than it is vertical, apparently, according to the Alter Rebbe, was not uncommon, even from the days of Masada. So to summarize, a mikvah can be mekar din in any shape that you want. But we need to make sure that we satisfy the basic minimum to oraisa shir of amma al amma berum shalosh amas and 40 so, which we saw the different permutations of how that plays out, lamaisa practicality. And then the issue in terms of the shape of the mikvah needs to be taken into consideration from the two chashashos of the Beis Yosef. Number one, that the person shouldn't need to fold themselves up And number two, that the person should make sure that they're under the water. So in terms of not folding yourself up, so if the mikvah is going to enable the person to be tovel horizontally, so then that should be okay. And the only thing they have to make sure is that the water there's enough water there in the depth that the person is going to be completely covered, completely submerged when they immerse in the mikvah.